Why must we occupy? Because to be idle and to be lazy is very dangerous. And in our fourth message, we are going to look at how can we occupy. So if we say occupy until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, what does it mean to occupy? How can we occupy? And there we will look at the title, Redeeming the Time in Service. And for our last message, how long in this occupying? How long to occupy? And there we will look at the glorious return of Christ. So we occupy until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Now this theme is very appropriate for you because I believe that for most of you, you are having school holidays now. If not, you won't be here. Okay? So during our school holidays, how will you occupy your time? How are you going to make use of your time? Now, of course, we are not just looking at this school holiday and how you use your time. We also want to look at the bigger picture, okay, of how you are going to use the time of your life that God has given to you. You know, one thing that I hope teens, youths will learn to appreciate is that all these little pockets of time that you have now, okay, while you are studying, then you have your school holidays, they are very precious. Because you know that you will reach a point in your life where you have no more such holidays anymore. Okay, last night I was having dinner, your teacher Isaac was there also, and then we were talking about how some of the older brothers, okay, if you know some of the older brothers in church, they have already finished their studies. Okay, people like, you know, Brother Joel Yip, okay, people like Andre also, okay, they have already finished their studies. So they have no more studying unless they, you know, choose to further their studies in the future. But once they have finished this phase of their life, now they have started their working phase. They are no longer going to have these pockets of time like you, like 1 month, okay, 2 months. How long is your holiday now? Yeah, so school holiday? 1 month. Okay, 1 month. Okay, or some maybe next time when you go to like tertiary institutions, you have 2 months or 3 months. Okay, these big pockets of time. But once you start work, no more. And you will be working every day and then only public holidays or when you apply for leave, then you can have a break. And so this time that you have, you know, where you have 1 month holiday, where every morning you can just wake up, you don't have to rush to school, you can eat your breakfast very slowly, you know, enjoy the rest of the day. This is very rare. Okay, it's only going to last for a few years of your life. Now you are sec one, so 13 years old. Maybe for the next 8 years or so. Okay, because you are assuming some of you also have to go through national service and things like that. So maybe for the next 8 years you have something like that. But after that, for the next 30, 40, 50 years, you will not have this kind of pockets of time anymore. See, so there's a saying, you know, there's actually a saying that sometimes youth is wasted on the young. Have you heard of that saying before? Youth is wasted on the young. Because if you give the youthfulness in terms of the energy, in terms of the time, in terms of the freedom, actually for youths you have a lot of freedom. You may feel that, I don't have a lot of freedom because my parents control a lot of things that I do. But actually youths have a lot of freedom because you don't have a lot of responsibilities. You don't have to care about the house utility bills. How much is the utility bills to pay? Do you know how much electricity bill? How much is the water bill? You have handphones, right? But who pay for your handphone bill? And those of you who have handphones, do you all pay for your own phone bill? Anyone pay for your own phone bill? You'll be very independent, and I'll be very impressed if you do. Okay, because when I was in secondary school, I'll be very honest. I had a handphone in Sec 3, but I didn't pay for my own phone bill until I started having a little bit of income, okay, later on. I can't remember exactly when. Maybe even when I started FBC, I started to pay or contribute a little bit, a part of my phone bill. So actually, you have a lot of freedom. You realize that? So this phase of your life is called your youth. And they say that youth is wasted on the young because so many youths, they waste away this precious gift of youth that they have in terms of the energy, in terms of the time, in terms of the freedom, you know, that you have to do so many things. And that's why I believe the teens comm, or your teens teacher, have decided on this very appropriate theme, very relevant theme for you. Occupy till I come. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Will you occupy yourself in the things of the Lord until the Lord Jesus Christ returns again? Or have you taken this time, this life that you have for granted, and you have been wasting it away? Okay, so this morning we are going to look at our first message. What does it mean to occupy? And keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 19, verse 11 to 28. Okay, over here what we have is the parable of the pounds, or some would call this the parable of the 10 servants. Okay, the reason why they call this the parable of the 10 servants is because if you look at verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ identified 10 servants. Okay, some also call this the parable of the pounds because the Lord Jesus Christ distributed to the 10 servants 10 pounds. So each servant will receive 1 pound. Okay, now, just a little bit of explanation. There's a difference between this parable and the parable of the talents. Okay, you all may be familiar with the parable of the talents, and that is in Matthew chapter 25. Okay? So, in the parable of the talents, it's also going to be another parable we'll look at during this camp. But just to highlight a few differences. First difference is that in the parable of the 10 servants, it was told to the people before the Lord Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem. If you read the context, the passage, right, that is the background, you will find out that the Lord Jesus Christ said this when he was in Jericho, after he met with Zacchaeus. Okay, so he asked Zacchaeus, come down, I'll go to your house and abide today. And then Zacchaeus repented. And so after the account of Zacchaeus' repentance, as the Lord Jesus Christ was still making his way from Jericho to Jerusalem, he gave them this parable. So this parable was spoken before he entered Jerusalem. Now the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 was spoken during what we call the Olivet Discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Olivet Discourse was when the Lord Jesus Christ was at the Mount of Olives. Okay, and then the disciples asked him, tell us, what would be the sign of thy coming? And then the Lord Jesus Christ explained to them, and he gave them the parable of the talents. And there's also another important difference between the parable of the 10 servants and the parable of the talents. Okay, so that's one difference. Another difference is that the parable of the 10 servants, it was spoken to the people at large. If you look at verse 11, right, the context here is, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ spoke this parable to the people who were around him. It's just the people in general. But the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 was spoken only to the disciples. So the application and the meaning and the significance of it is also different. Okay, within the parable itself, there are also differences. Okay, the pound and the talents, they are units of measurement and they mean different things. Okay, so the pound and the talents, they are different units used to measure or to describe their currency in those days. Okay, their money in those days. So it's also different. Okay, and the significance of the parable of the 10 servants is for the general people. It includes the Lord's servant. It also includes the Lord's enemy. Okay, just now you all read through already, right? The parable of the servants. You will see that there would be the citizens who were unhappy with this nobleman who later on became a king. And they were the enemies of this king. But in the parable of the talents, there's no enemy that's described. Okay, so these are some of the differences between these two parables. That's why they are different parables and with different applications and different emphasis. And so today, this morning, we're going to focus on this parable. Now, why did the Lord Jesus Christ give this parable? And the first thing that we want to learn is the patience in waiting. That's why the title for this message is The Patient Waiting. See, in the context and the passage over here, if you look at verse 11, it will tell us the background behind the telling of this parable. The Bible says he spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem. So he was drawing close to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So what has happened here was that the people, they thought that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and establish his kingdom on earth in his first coming. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago, you all have seen nativity plays before, or when you remember Christmas, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a servant. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in a manger, and he had a lowly, humble birth. And the reason why was because in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the purpose of Christ's coming was to come and die for our sins. But the people, that is the multitude, the Jewish people especially, they misunderstood. They thought that the Lord Jesus Christ would come as a ruler, as a king, in order to deliver them from the Roman. Okay? In those days, the Romans, they were occupying Israel. Okay? So the land of Israel, it was occupied by the Romans. And the people thought that, oh, there would be a savior who will come and deliver us from the Romans. And so when they expected the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver them from the Romans, and the Lord Jesus Christ didn't, because that was not his purpose, they started to become very disappointed with the Lord Jesus Christ. They became angry with him, and they even crucified him. And so they later would reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ then spake this parable to them, in order to rebuke them, where they did not understand, they did not trust the reason and the purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ coming. So when we learn of this theme, to occupy till the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we need to first understand how important it is to be patient in trusting in the Lord's will for your life and for my life. No, to trust, to be patient in trusting in the Lord's timing for you and for me. To trust in the Lord's will, to trust in the Lord's purpose for you and for me. That was the problem. And that was also the problem of one of the servants. Okay, later we are going to look at the servants, okay, in the parable itself. But that was one of the problems of the servants. Right? He was discontent with his Lord, with his master. And he even accused his master and his Lord as being a harsh man. Okay, and that resulted in his unhappiness. And you can imagine, perhaps, he may also have been complaining, right, about how his master has been a harsh man to him and to others. And this is where there are some who reflect the lack of trust in the Lord's purpose for each one of us. Now, I wonder, at your age, have you actually submitted and recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and you will trust in his purpose? Because sometimes, you know, for us, the habit of murmuring and complaining is very common, is very normal. There is one thing that we are very good at, and I think that even at your age, you also know how to murmur and complain. You don't have to be taught how to murmur and complain. Are you all happy to have your camp in Tengah? To stay over in Tengah? Have you all stayed over in Tengah before? Okay. He has stayed over in Tengah before. How about the rest? Have you all stayed over in Tengah before? No. Gabriel, have you stayed over in Tengah before? No. Okay. So maybe tomorrow we'll see. Okay. Whether, are you all going to sleep on air mattress or safari bed? No more air mattresses. Because if you sleep on air mattresses, then, you know, every morning the air mattresses would sing and deflate. And then you'll say, oh, you're so uncomfortable. And you say, why must I come for this camp? And things like that. Okay, that's one example of murmuring and complaining. You know, I was serving in the church camp committee. And when we go for church camp, the hotel is definitely much more comfortable than a youth camp like that. And so I remember I was serving in a youth camp, church camp committee before. And in a church camp, you also face with murmurings and complainings. Of course, actually, I was pleasantly surprised. And because the number of complaints that I received was not a lot. I would say when I was a camp master, it was like less than 10. Here there are people who like complain they requested for adjoining room. But then when they assign a room, there are not enough adjoining rooms. We have no choice but to give them separate room. Then some will just say, no, I requested for adjoining room, you know. Then I said, sorry, we tried our best to accommodate, but we cannot, you know. Then some, oh yeah, you know, how, I want the adjoining room. So they would complain a bit like that. Okay, but I was pleasantly surprised because we have like more than 700 campers, and I would say less than 10 people, they complain. So it's actually not a lot. There are some a bit funny complaints, like they complain that one of the buses that was going up to camp was too squeaky. Okay, the suspension of the bus was too squeaky, and then so he could not sleep on the bus. So I said, okay, noted, you know, we will try. But what do you want me to do? Change the suspension for you, change the whole bus, because the bus was too squeaky. I mean, okay, you can give you earplugs, okay, then you can sleep the bus. So there are some who like to murmur and complain. It's a habit of people. In the children of Israel also, they like to murmur and complain. And for you, I think that you also know how to murmur and complain. Somehow you don't have to be taught to murmur and complain. You murmur and complain about the food. You murmur and complain about the timetable. You murmur and complain about these things. But some of these things may be smaller things. But sometimes we can be very unhappy, and the word is also to be discontented, and we murmur and complain about even things that God has given to us. Maybe you murmur and complain you don't like your parents. You complain, no, why my dad is like that? Why my mom is like that? And then you compare. Or maybe you complain about your siblings. Why my sister is like that? Why my brother is like that? You complain about your siblings. You know, some of you are smiling, so it must be true. And why no complain? And then maybe you complain even about yourself. You know, why God made me like that? Why am I so tall? You know, tall height also has disadvantage. Okay, why am I so tall? You know, because if let's say the tall people, you want to wear socks, right? It takes more effort to put on your socks than the not so tall people, right? Is it true? Who is the tallest here? His name is Josiah, is it? Is it hard to wear socks? No, okay, he's used to it. But you see, just based on pure physics, he has to stretch and reach down lower in order to wear socks, right? Okay, so it takes more effort to wear socks. So, you know, they can complain. Of course, you know, there are different struggles that different people face. Then maybe you complain, why do I look like that? Why do I do this? Do you realize that this is very similar to what the people complained in that time? Of course, the complaint was different. They were expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come and deliver them from the Romans. But they were not satisfied. They were not happy. They did not want to wait for the Lord's timing. They wanted to be delivered now. They wanted to be rescued now. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says, no, this is not the time. I am come now to save you from your sins. They were not happy, they crucified him. And that was what one of the servants said. Right? He says, you are a harsh man. They complain about the Lord. Do you complain about the Lord in these things? No, if the Lord has his timing, he wants you to wait for a certain thing. But he wants you to patiently, maybe for now, you go through this phase of life in secondary school. Will you patiently wait? Some may say that, no, I can't wait to grow up. I can't wait to be independent. I can't wait to make my own decisions in life. But actually, you are not ready. For many of these things that we want, we are not ready. But the Lord knows when is the best time for us. That is the first problem. And so the first thought that we see over here is that they must acknowledge and recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as King. And we must acknowledge and recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as King. Even though, when he first came, in his first coming, he did not come as a king. And for us, we did not see him with our physical eyes. But do you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of your life? And so to occupy till the Lord Jesus Christ returns,
First of all, you must acknowledge him as the king of your life and you patiently wait upon his timing. Then now, the second thing. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. Okay, in verses 12 and 13, the Bible then describes what the master has entrusted to us. Okay, the Bible says here, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Okay, so he already told them, I'm going to receive a kingdom and I will return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Okay, so this parable is different from the parable of the talents. In this case, he gave 10 servants, each one 1 pound. Okay, so it's equal, the same. So in the parable of the talents, the emphasis and the application is slightly different. Because the number of talents that he gave to each one of them was different. But in this case, the pound that he gave is the same. Okay, so everyone received the same, each one 1 pound. Now, just to give you a little bit of context, okay, 1 pound in those days is equivalent to what they call 100 denarius. Okay, and a denarii, that's one denarii, is 1 day's wage. And so 100 denarius is about 3 months' wages. And you divide 100 divided by 3, okay, it's like 33 point something, right? 33.333333, something like that, right? Okay, so that's 3 months' wages. Okay, so 1 denarii is about 1 day's wage of an average worker, okay, like a farmer's wage. Okay, so this is about 3 months' wages. It's not a lot compared to the talents, okay, but it's still relatively significant. So he gave each one of them, right, 3 months' wages and entrusted to them this responsibility to use of it and then to occupy till I come. And that's where the phrase comes in. If you look at the end of verse 13, he says, occupy till I come. Now the phrase, the word occupy, means to tend to business. Okay? It means to attend to your work. So you must know whose work you are fulfilling and whose work you are doing. And then he says, attend to this work. Because the master has entrusted you with this. Okay, so what is this talent and what is this pound that the Lord has entrusted to us? Now, one thing we must remember about the parables, okay, is that when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks a parable, not everything has a significance attached to it. Okay, so we will not say like the pound means this. Okay, but the pound does describe and is used to illustrate something. It's used to illustrate what God has entrusted to each one of us, those who profess to be his servants, where all of us have equally. And what can we say that this is something that every believer has? Okay, every one of his servants would have. Each one of his servants would have. What is it? There are many things that we can think of. We can think of the time that each one of us have. We can think also of the word of God that each one of us have. We also can think of the life and the health that each one of us have. Right? So these are the things that God has given to us, that God has entrusted to us. No, but before we talk about what the Lord has entrusted to us, I first want us to look at how God says, occupy till I come. And it's the nobleman who entrusted this to you. And so first, no, you must see who is the one who has entrusted all these very precious things that you have to you. It is God who has entrusted this to you. It's God who has given you this life. It's God who has given you his word. It's God who has given you his gospel. It's God who has given you his health. The Lord is the one who entrusted this to you. And because the Lord is the one who entrusted this to you, it's a very, very important and a very heavy responsibility. Now, how would you feel if somebody who is very important entrusts you with a very important responsibility? And who is someone who may be important
And let's say one day you receive a phone call, okay, from the Prime Minister of Singapore. And then he says that, you know, my MRT system has not been doing very well. Okay, I want to entrust to you now the MRT network. Then what would you say? No, I can't do it, you know, I'm too young to do it. Maybe that's realistically what you should say, okay? But, okay, let's put skill and experience aside. Okay, let's say he says he entrusts you because he knows that you can do it. Then how would you feel? You feel like, wow, I'm so privileged. I'm so honored. You know, I get to be chosen to take care of this. Okay, no, MRT is a bit unrealistic. I know some of you in school also are appointed as class monitors. Okay, monitor, is it for primary school? Or is it secondary school? It's called counselors, is it? You call what?
Chairman.
Class chairman. Last time, I don't remember having class chairman. I remember only got counselors, then got class monitor. Okay. So when you are entrusted with that, how do you feel? Don't you feel honored? Okay, that amongst all the students, you are chosen as the chairman. Or, you know, in a CCA, maybe you are chosen as the captain. Right, you know, like you play basketball. Okay, then you are chosen as the captain. Then you say, wow, you know, actually I'm quite honored. And then when you are chosen as the captain, you are chosen as the in charge, I'm sure you will talk differently. Do you have like friends before the person is chosen as a class monitor, he's like your good friend, very normal. Then suddenly when he's chosen as monitor, it change. Right? Then the way he talks, the way he carries himself, walk, he now like got some air about him, right? Because he's the in charge. It's like that. Why does he change? Okay? Sometimes you know that change makes you not like him. So why does he change? He becomes arrogant. Then that's not good. But sometimes he changed because he knows that there's a weight of responsibility about him, and he feels honored to be chosen. Now, do you know that who is the one who has entrusted to us with all these responsibilities? To be responsible for our time, to be responsible for the gospel that God has given to us, to be responsible for our health. It is our God. I mean, of course, when we are still young, you know the Lord has given our parents to take care of us, to bring us up. But you are at an interesting phase of your life. Because young people, now you often find a tension. Right? There's a tension in your life where your parents still care for you and you're still under your parents' charge. But you want to be independent. And you want to do things your own way. And then there's a tension. But you are actually, in fact, sometimes not ready. But there are things from time to time where your parents feel that they can entrust more responsibility to you already. So maybe when you are younger, okay, like when you were in primary school, your parents will have to fetch you to school, or they, you know, use the bus to bring you to school. And they don't feel safe if you were to take the public transport on your own yet. Okay, like maybe when you're primary one, primary two. Maybe when you're primary 4 or primary 5, you start to take the public transport on your own. But now in secondary school, most of you will go to school on your own, right? Right? Is it? Okay, some of you, maybe your parents will fetch you, but by and large, it's okay if you take the public transport. Because you know how to tap the bus card already. You know how to tap the bus card, right? Okay. You know how to pay the right fare, right? Okay, so you should be at that age already. See, so your parents start to entrust with you, having more and more of this responsibility. But how do you fulfill these responsibilities that they entrusted to you? See, if you betray your parents' trust, when, let's say, you're supposed to come home at a particular time, but you decide to take a detour. When I was in secondary school, this thing called LAN game was more popular. Now, I don't think it's like that popular anymore. Now, okay, correct myself. It's LAN Cyber Cafe was very popular. Now, it's not popular. LAN game is still popular, but you don't need to go to Cyber Cafe
to play land game. You can just play at the home, right? So that's a bit of difference. Okay, like last time, you know, when I wanted to download Counter-Strike, okay, the Counter-Strike game was like 50 megabytes. I remember I had to take 2 days to download Counter-Strike. 50 megabytes. Now it's like you take 1 hour to download 50 gigabyte things, right? So that's why we go to LAN shop to play. And that's how your parents will have to see, can they trust you or not? Do you take a detour? You know, instead of going home, you waste your time in these things. Not only just waste time, waste also money. See, that's where you are at a phase of your life where there's a tension. Your parents want to entrust you with more responsibility, but actually for many of you, you are not ready to handle these responsibilities. But don't just see it as your parents who are the ones entrusting you with it. If it's the Lord who is entrusting you with it, how will you use it? How would you use this gift that God has given to you? You know, many of you have been brought up in church. And actually, that's also another great privilege. That's a blessing that God has given to you. You have been taught the things of God since you were young. And actually, that was the thing that first struck me. Okay, when I went to a mission field when I was in secondary 3. So teens is from set 1, set 1 to set 4. So some of you are already secondary 3 and secondary 4. Okay? Okay, but you all look quite young. Okay, I don't know whether it's because I'm getting older or okay, this group is a bit younger. And, but I remember when I was, this was the thing that struck me when I was in secondary 3 because I went for a missions trip in North Thailand. And I like some of you, also grew up in church. You know, I was born in a Christian home. I went to Sunday school. Yeah, I was quite a good Sunday school student. If you don't believe me, you can ask my teacher. But you don't know who my teacher is, so you can't ask my teacher. But, okay, just take my word for it. I'm not a bad student because I did my DHW, okay? We have a DHW assignment. So I did it quite faithfully, diligently every week. Okay? The others, sometimes they don't do the DHW, but I did. But actually, I was a very naughty student also. So in Sunday school, I was quite good, but I was still, you know, quite naughty. I know I'm contradicting myself, but... So, I knew that I didn't take a lot of these things seriously. In the Sunday school and all these things, I learned, you know, the Bible stories. But one thing that really struck me was that when I went to North Thailand, you know, I saw many of these kids. Not just the kids, also the youths. In the villages. And some of them are Christians because they come to church. But they don't have the opportunity to study the Word of God like you and like me. I remember how every night, when we had like these gospel services, then every night they will have a children's program as well. And the children from the villages will come in order to listen to these Bible stories. And then when they were listening, it's so different from how Singaporean children listen. They were just so engrossed. Yeah, I don't know whether is it because the Bible teacher, you know, was better, or but it's harder because there was translation. Yeah, so the Bible teacher has to teach, and then there's a translator who will translate. So it interrupts. But the children were just so interested to listen to the Bible story. And then I can see in their eyes, you know, where they just was so excited and so happy to listen to the Word of God. And immediately when I saw that, I was greatly rebuked. But because I look at how I approach every Sunday. You know, sometimes we will be talking, we will be distracted, we will be disinterested. That made me wonder, why is it that with this privilege that God has given to me, you know, to receive all these Bible stories and lessons week after week, I don't appreciate it. Yet, for others who do not have it, they enjoy it so much. Think, what is it that the Lord has given to you, has entrusted to you? The Word of God that is given so freely to you. To even be brought up in a Christian home. To be given your life, to be given your time, to be given your energy, is what the Lord has entrusted to you. How have you been using these things? How have you been serving the Lord? Are you honored that the Lord has given you this and entrusted you with this? Do you know the Lord will hold us accountable? And so that's the third thing. Okay, so the first thing is there's the patience. The second thing is the master and trust to us. Okay, the patient waiting, the master and trust to us. Okay, and he has entrusted to us this, in this parable, the powers. Okay, he has entrusted to each one of us in equal measure, okay, what the Lord wants us to one day return to him. Then in verse 15 to verse 27, the Lord will hold us accountable. Now before we go to verse 15, verse 14 is an interesting verse because it describes how there are his citizens. Okay, so here you see that there are two different groups of people. There's one group that are called his servants, and then there's another group that are the citizens. Okay, so the citizens here is used to illustrate the Jews in those days who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Okay, so there's this group of citizens. Now, later on, the Lord Jesus Christ will also hold them accountable, those who reject Christ. But then now, he goes back to the servants. Okay, he says that there's the first servant, so he called his servants to give an account how much they have gained by training. And then he called the first servant in verse 16. And the servant who has been given 1 pound now gained 10 pounds. And then the Lord said, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Okay, because you have been faithful in just very little. A little in 1 pound. I've only entrusted you with 1 pound. That's little. That's small. And because you have been faithful in this small thing, now I can entrust you with a greater responsibility to take care over 10 cities. To have authority over 10 cities. Then the second, the Lord gave 5 pounds. He returned to the Lord 5 pounds. Still not too bad. And then he says, be thou also over 5 cities. So the Lord entrusted to this second servant the measure that he believed the second servant can manage. But then there's a third servant that came and said, here is the pound which I've kept and laid up in the napkin. Okay, now there are a few things I would like to explain over here. First of all, what the Lord has entrusted to us, the Lord will hold us accountable. No, we will be answerable, and we have to give an account. Of course, you cannot say that, no, that I don't want these things. That would not be the right attitude. But what the Lord has entrusted to you, the Lord will hold you accountable for your time, for your life, for the word of God that he has entrusted to you. You know, these privileges that you have, the Lord is one day going to hold you accountable when you have to answer to him. But will you be faithful? And now that is one of the themes that we would meditate upon later on. And who is the faithful and loyal servant? What does it mean to be faithful? But will you be faithful? Will you be trustworthy? But then I want to draw your attention to the third servant. Because the third servant complained. And he said in verse 21, I fear thee because thou art an austere man. Now this word austere means severe. He is very harsh. And thou takest up that thou laidest not down and reapest that thou didst not sow. Now, how should we understand who this third servant was? Now, I see this third servant in this manner. I believe that the third servant was someone who was found within the community of the Lord's servants. But in reality, he has never truly loved his master. He has never truly served his master. And that's why he would go so far to say that his master is a severe man. And so he firstly, in a way, falsely accused his master. You are a very severe man. You are a very harsh man. And then later on, he even gave an excuse. Okay? Where the excuse is, you reap where you will not sow. You take where you do not lay out. And so, therefore, I just keep what I have in a napkin to protect and to preserve it. Now, when you look at this excuse, okay, it's a very, very lousy excuse. That's why the master just simply replied, shouldn't you have take this to the money exchange or to trade, you know, so that you get a return out of it? That's what people would do. So how I would understand this last servant is that this is like a professing believer. He never truly loves God. He has never truly served God. He doesn't recognize the graciousness of God. You know, one of these writers, one of these commentators, made an interesting remark. He put it this way. He said, hard thoughts of God are a common mark of unconverted people. Now, when a person thinks of God in a way where he sees God as unloving, he sees God as severe, as harsh, it is probably a mark of an unconverted people. Now, we're not talking about sometimes, you know, even as Christians, we may maybe struggle like Job. Okay, in the Bible, you know, Job struggled, has certain questions. You know, why is it that he has to suffer? Then he wonders, then he asks God. That's one thing. But it's another thing to now accuse God, okay, to accuse Christ of being severe, of being harsh. And so what this servant has done is that he has misrepresented and accused his master, and then he tries to excuse himself for his not serving, his not faithful serving of God. And I believe that this is a mark of an unregenerate person. Now, how does this apply to us? If we are truly children of God, we will want to love God. I mean, of course, we can grow in love, and it's true, sometimes our love may grow cold. But then when our love grows cold, we ask the Lord to revive that love again. But if you have a hatred towards God, a bitterness towards God, an anger towards God, then that may be a mark of an unregenerate. Now, if you have certain things that you are struggling with, that you do not understand, that causes that bitterness, you know, sure, you can please talk to someone. Right, talk to your teachers or something. Then ask your teacher to help you, okay, to counsel you, to help you to overcome this bitterness even against God. But if this bitterness remains there and you now misrepresent and you accuse God because you do not want to serve Him, because you do not want to be used of Him, then that may be a mark of someone who is not truly a servant of God. He professes to be a servant of God, but he's not a servant of God. And this is how I understand this third servant. But are you like that? Where we like to give excuses. You know, one of the very scary things for Christians in this generation is that we are very, very good at giving excuses because we are very good at talking. Okay, we are very fluent in how we want to express ourselves. And we are very good at giving excuses for not doing certain things. We are very good at giving excuses for wasting our time. We are good at giving excuses for not serving God. But that's one of the struggles today, the problems today, where this is not a faithful servant. And I wonder whether he's even truly a servant of the Lord at all. Okay, and you know, when you go all the way down to verse 27, then the Lord concluded that for his enemies, so the citizens who were his enemies, the Lord will deal with them. Okay, the Lord requested that these enemies would be brought before him, and then he would stay there. Okay, but the last thought in these few verses is that we must remember the Lord will hold us accountable for what is entrusted to us. So the theme of occupying till I come, it must be a reminder to us that the Lord will one day call us to answer for these things that the Lord has entrusted to us. What have you done with the gifts, the talents, the time that God has given to you? Not just think, maybe even in short term. What will you do with this holiday that God has given to you? You know, in a way, the holiday is equal, right? But there are some who seem to be more profitable in the holiday that you use. Because for each one of you, it's the same. It's 1 month. But what do you use it to do? So if your time is wasted away in aimless, meaningless things, then do you think that you can give an answer and account to the Lord for how you have used it? So would you be accountable to the Lord? So the Lord asks us now to occupy till we come. So the first message today we want to look at is to be patient as we wait upon the Lord, as we trust in how the Lord has entrusted these things to us. Okay, the next message, when we come back again this evening, we want to see now, who are the Lord's faithful servants? What does it mean to be faithful? And what does it mean to be loyal? And loyalty is a very rare virtue today. Very few people understand what it means to be loyal. Because loyalty is where even nobody is looking, nobody is seeing, you still remain loyal to your master and to your Lord. And that's where we are going to look at how we can be loyal. We must be loyal unto the master we are serving. Okay, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou art our Lord. And we thank thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has also saved us and purchased us with his precious blood. O Lord, we pray, thou wilt help us to be faithful even to the things that thou hast entrusted to us. We pray for the rest of this teens camp. May thou help the teens to have a blessed time, to indeed enjoy the learning and the meditation of thy word. O Lord, we thank thee for moving their hearts that they can come this week to even enjoy this camp together. May thou help them to be attentive during the message, to enjoy sweet Christian fellowship, and to return refreshed and filled with zeal in desiring to serve thee. Hear this our prayer, O Lord, for we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name.
It's now we are done with discussion, so groups, Julos, Didomi, and Jessica here, and Rebecca in the JWA. Then before y'all start, can you come to that question? Yeah. Okay.
Very welcome.